Don't miss the world's premier Christian Counseling Conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AACC United World Conference. See you in September.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Zach Clinton.
Hey, thanks, Jim. I'm Zach Clinton, and I wanted to thank you for joining us each day, and especially today, because we're going to share with you a very special conversation had with Miss Allie Marie Smith. You're going to love this lady after God's own heart. Her ministry is called Wonderfully Made, and she has a book by that same title. Her mission, it's very clear, to help women and girls know their true value and to thrive in today's complex world. She lives in Santa Barbara County with her husband, Paul, where she loves surfing and adventuring up and down the West Coast. Allie, my friend, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Zach. It's so great to be with you.
Allie, first and foremost, it's evident that God is doing something special in and through your life and in through your testimony. I'm so grateful that you truly are a mental health advocate that I think we need for such a time as this. Someone who's willing to open up about her story, her vulnerabilities, the challenges that she's experienced. You really prioritize holistic health. I think that's so important. But you talk about surfing. I'll tell you this, Allie, up front. I am not a surfer. I've never done it before. And to be honest with you, I think one of my greatest fears is the ocean. I hate sharks. I hate the thought of them. So I want to ask you this fun question. What got you into surfing? But also, what's the coolest place you've ever been surfing?
I've always been an ocean lover. When I was a young girl, I was obsessed with dolphins and just wanted to be in the ocean. So I did go to school at Pepperdine, so it was the perfect place to learn. And gosh, my favorite place, we go to the North Shore of Oahu a lot, which is like, you know, the epicenter of surfing. We have a lot of great friends there. So I've had some really fun surf sessions there. And I got to tell you, Zach, Dr. Amen is going to be really proud of me because it's super kooky, but I decided to buy a surf helmet because I'm a longboarder and longboards can weigh like 25, 30 pounds and they're 10 feet long. And so if one of those comes and hits you in the head, you know, you can be in a bad spot. So
yes,
just shout out to Dr. Amen and the importance of, you know, caring for our brains and the importance of brain health. So
amen to that, Allie. And as you're talking about caring for our brains, caring for our minds, and really being an advocate for mental health. What I appreciate and admire about you, I think, so much is your willingness to be so open and honest and vulnerable with some of the mental health challenges that you've experienced in your own life. I know, like potentially a lot of our listeners, that you were somebody, I've read your story, I've heard it, you were somebody who kind of looked from the outside in that you had this ideal life, but you were struggling silently with the battle with depression. And so, Allie, I would love for you now just to take your time and kind of helping us process your story, your testimony, and just give us the ins and outs and the details of how dark and how difficult really that season of your life really was.
Yeah. So I grew up in the Bay Area in Silicon Valley, wonderful parents, hardworking parents, you know, good girl, great home, really bright future. As a girl, I just sports for my whole life, played like every sport and was always red in the face. And, you know, just, I love being active so much and it just gave me so much confidence. And I was pretty feisty and confident as a young girl. But something shifted for me around the age of 12, which is, you know, unfortunately so many girls' stories around that time. And so I started to experience these like uninvited feelings of loneliness and sadness and unworthiness. And it really didn't make sense. You know, I had everything a girl could want. I had a great life, never had any trauma. But that was really the onset of my really difficult journey with depression. Going into high school, again, it did look like I was the girl who had it together. You know, I was dating the captain of the football team. I got straight A's. I was the captain of the soccer team. But as high school went on, this depression, you know, I tried to hide it through or stuff it through perfectionism and overachieving. And like many girls, you know, I was very highly perfectionistic. I was very, very hard on myself. I was, you know, extremely self-focused, and we know that that doesn't help. And, you know, because of many complex factors, I had something very traumatic happen to me when I was 17 and I didn't tell anyone about it. It became the perfect storm for me. It really did. 2 weeks after I graduated high school, Zach, I found myself in such a deep and dark and debilitating depression. And it was so bad. You know, I couldn't eat and I couldn't sleep. I couldn't talk. You know, my body was alive, but there was no life within me. I mean, it was as bad as it could get. And, you know, all I could think about was, how am I going to end my life? I just got to die. I just got to end this pain. You know, I'm a burden and, you know, all these terrible thoughts. And so I was admitted to the psychiatric hospital and, you know, as testament to how broken our mental health system is, you know, I was put on a 72-hour hold. You know, I was in group therapy with many adults that summer and I looked around the room and they all had a reason to be depressed. They all had a reason. And I didn't have a reason, it seemed like, you know, and that just made it so much worse and increased the guilt and the shame. And one day on a gloomy June day, I grabbed my car keys and I snuck out of the house and I drove to the Golden Gate Bridge with the intention to end my life by jumping off. And, you know, I was driving recklessly and, you know, I was getting close to the bridge and, you know, my tire hit a curb and I got a flat tire. And I just remember sitting in my car, just desperate, just not knowing what to do. And there was a knock on my window and this silver-haired, kind-hearted man came and, you know, he asked if he could help me, if he called for roadside assistance. And, you know, Zach, I hadn't talked to anyone for weeks and weeks. And this man had like a 1980s, like vintage white Mercedes Benz. And on the back of his car was one sticker and it said Navy. And my brother had just been admitted to the Naval Academy. And for whatever reason, I asked him a question, you know, oh, so, you know, are you in the Navy? And all of a sudden I told him my brother was in Annapolis and we had this normal conversation, you know, and my tire was fixed and I did head home with a little hope in my heart. And, you know, that wasn't the end of my struggles. You know, a therapist, you know, sometimes there's great ones. Some, you know, usually there are. I know your listeners are, but a therapist, you know, recommended that it was going to be good for me to travel 3,000 miles away from home and attend the university I was accepted to. So, you know, my parents, they didn't know. And, you know, so I flew back and I just entered into really deep and even more dangerous place and I had to be flown home. But I was hospitalized again for 3 weeks and I was as broken as a girl could be. I mean, you know, and I was so desperate for hope. And I asked for a Bible. I'd always loved God, always believed in God. And I asked for a Bible and I started reading the stories of Jesus. And I saw that he loved the broken. He loved the outcasts, and he came to offer them hope and healing. And I was as broken as a girl could be. And, you know, it's just like, sometimes I look back, I'm like, oh my gosh, this was such a crazy story. But like one of... It's kind of comical though. One of the patients who was like a drug, like he was high on drugs and he was completely out of his mind. So he used a payphone and he called in a bomb threat on the hospital. And we were escorted to the hospital chapel because of that. And, you know, I was getting treatment. The medication was helping heal those thoughts, and the desire to no longer live was really beginning to fade. And, you know, we walked in that chapel and suddenly one of the patients started singing Amazing Grace. And I just felt the love of God just overwhelm me and decided, you know, God, I want to live. I want to live. And, you know, as she sang Amazing Grace through a whispered prayer, like, I surrendered my life to Jesus, and I have never, ever been the same. Well, I have struggled with my mental health since then, but he radically saved me, transformed me. From then on, I was like, you know, God, my life is yours. You know, that's why I'm so bold about my story, because he saved my life, you know, and I'm on a mission. You know, I want to see girls. I want to see people's lives saved from suicide, because I know that whether it's schizophrenia or bipolar or depression, I really believe no matter what it is, there is hope for you and there's healing available, and it's not the end of your story. And you can actually go on and live a thriving, flourishing life. And, you know, I've been able to do that through the power of God, through his grace. And, you know, a lot of grit. It's been really hard work. It's hard work every day. In college, you know, the depression returned really bad and I felt abandoned by God. And I didn't understand, because I felt like, okay, Jesus, I come to you and it's all going to go away. And so when I faced depression severely again, it was really, really difficult. And I did have another attempt and God radically saved me, saved my life again. And, you know, I'm so grateful. I have not struggled with severe depression now for like about over 20 years. You know, I've learned to, you know, manage it. I did have a total of 5 hospitalizations, but today, by God's grace, you know, I'm thriving. I'm happy. I have joy. You know, I still have hard days, of course, but I mean, thank you, God, for saving me. I'm just so grateful.
Amen, Allie. You know, I'm so appreciative of your vulnerability and your willingness to share your testimony with us. Sometimes it can be difficult for people to dive into the depths of the pain that they've experienced, but you do so in such an unapologetic way because you want other people to experience the same freedom, the same grace, the same, in a sense, kindness of God that you were able to experience in those dark and difficult moments. And I think it's important to highlight the fact in your story that even when you accepted Jesus as Lord of your life and as your Savior, and you experienced the forgiveness but also the fellowship of him, that mental health challenges continued on in your life, right? It was still a process of healing. It was still a process of growth and developing. And I just want to ask this question, Allie, just for a moment. Sometimes I believe that the church is beginning to change on this topic because we're doing a mighty work, I feel like, here at AACC. That's what God has called us to train and equip the church to meet the needs of the mental health, especially needs of today's generations. But sometimes the church still can, in a sense, shame some mental health challenges and, dare I say, over-spiritualize things by, if you just read your Bible more, if you just prayed more, you wouldn't feel so depressed. Allie, I believe that, you know, ultimately power and healing is only found in Christ and in Christ alone, but it's okay to have a counselor and a therapist. It's okay to be on medication, right, and still love Jesus. What are your thoughts related to that and really the integration of theology and psychology?
Yeah, well, I want to say to anyone who, you know, has a deep faith and is still struggling, I just want to say I'm so sorry, because I've been there and it's so hard and you can feel abandoned by God and you don't understand and you're doing everything you can. And really, it doesn't make sense, you know, but I know that, you know, God is there. And even though you can't fight for yourself, like, God is fighting for you. And just rest in his presence and, you know, don't isolate, look for the help and trust the process. It is going to take time. But I believe, you know, that pain is not permanent. It's temporary. As permanent as it seems. I just want to say, Zach, to you and your dad and your whole team at AACC, you are doing a phenomenal job. I think you are at the forefront of what you're doing. You're educating the church. You're equipping the church. So I think you just, you know, make it clear so well, the integration of our faith and our minds and our brains, and to take that shame away, because, you know, our brain is an organ and, you know, it can get sick, it can get unwell. And, you know, and I really do think it's, especially depression, is the worst illness there is, because it makes you turn on yourself and you have no hope. And I think it's the most painful illness there really is. And on your soul. And so I just want to say I'm thankful for you. And I just want to point everyone to your resources, your mental health workshops, your courses. I'm doing a couple of them. And I just want to say thank you to your team. You guys are amazing. You're so genuine too, and kind. And
Hey, we can say the same thing right back to you, Allie. Thank you so much for what God's doing in and through your life. And I love that word of encouragement that you just gave us. It reminds me of Isaiah 43:1-2. Ultimately, it says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." Ultimately, it's that reminder, like you said, that even in the midst of challenge and adversity, that we're never alone, because there's always a fourth man in the fire. But also, I think of 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, that we serve the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our times of trouble, so that we may then comfort others with the same comfort we ourselves have received from God. That's what I think of when I hear you, I hear your testimony, and I see all the amazing things God's doing through you, is it ultimately comes down to recognizing that God has no greater joy than using people just like me and you, Allie, as conduits through which he channels these messages of hope and encouragement to people that are hurting and broken. And let me tell you this, as we keep on transitioning in the conversation, there's a lot of hurting people. And let me say, there's a lot of hurting young women. The statistics have revealed recently in a CDC 2021 report, it showed that 57% of our girls, our daughters, our sisters, right, have seriously struggled with persistent sadness and or depression. 30% of those girls seriously contemplating suicide. I mean, the statistics, one shows that 75% of girls wish they could surgically change something about their body. Since the onset of COVID-19, Allie, rates of anxiety, depression, addiction, eating disorders, suicidality, they're all skyrocketing to places we've never seen before. Again, our girls are seriously hurting. You're on the front lines. You're walking alongside of and really investing in the lives of not just young women, but adult women as well. Let me ask you these questions. What are you seeing, Allie? What are you hearing? And what do you believe are some of the contributing factors to this decline in mental health?
Yeah, well, I think really it's our culture. And there are many different layers, you know, what that involves in our culture. I mean, of course, you read the statistics. These all happened at the onset of social media. It was not like this. I didn't know one girl, one person, adult really, in my whole life who went through what I went through. And now it's so common. And, you know, a lot of the girls are, you know, oh, you know, I have anxiety, or it's like becoming their identity. It's and it's so common. And I see it, of course, the social media component, absolutely, that is undeniable. You read the statistics, the rate of suicide or depression increased 60% in the last 10 years. And so we cannot deny, because social media is shaping our culture. It is making us more self-absorbed. It is making us more disconnected, more lonely. You know, as we've turned to our phones and to ourselves, we've really turned away from God. And we have this failed search for meaning. You know, we've really been pushing God out of our culture, and we've been looking to ourselves, and we've been looking to others, and we've been comparing. And that hurts our soul so much. And that leads to anxiety and depression and lack of joy. You know, so there's so much there. You know, in the culture, so much confusion to girls, you know, making them think they're in the wrong body and all these lies pressured over them. So really it's the culture, but I would say social media is really the culprit, because girls are spending at least 5 hours a day, a lot of them 9 hours a day on social media on their phones. They are living their lives through their phones. It's also leading to self-objectification, seeing themselves as objects first, or as bodies first, and then as a person second, which we know really increases depression, eating disorders, shame. You know, the unrealistic standards they're seeing, you know, you used to be able to compare yourself to like the girls in your class, right? And now you have like the Kardashians and you have like all the supermodels and then everyone's filtering and it's just not reality. And it's just such a distraction from God and from the amazing lives we've been created for.
You know, like you, Allie, I firmly believe that we can find out who we are by rooting it again in whose we are. And as a dear friend of mine would always say, when you know who you are, it doesn't matter who you're not. I love this idea as you're talking about worth and value and identity and really recognizing things to do and things not to do, but ultimately helping us remember that peace is ultimately found in God's presence. Allie, for you, as we kind of wrap up our time together today, Allie, what's one final word of hope, encouragement, and resilience that you would leave that audience member with today?
You know, I love what Elizabeth Elliot says. God's story never ends in ashes. There is never a hopeless case for Christ. This is not the end of your story. You just have to hold on. You have to promise to choose life. You have to go to counseling. If you need medication, you have to take that medication. Do everything you can. Hide yourself in the shadows of the Almighty. You are so loved. He will carry you through this. He will not leave you or forsake you. So that would be my final thought.
You know, Allie, it reminds me of that acronym of HOPE. Hold on, pain ends. Hope is a person and hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. Allie Marie Smith, where can all of our listeners and viewers go to find out more about you, but also to get involved with your ministry and also some of your resources over there at Wonderfully Made?
Yeah, so my website is alliemariesmith.com. It's spelled A-L-L-I-E, mariesmith.com. Wonderfully Made, we would love for you to visit. Join our newsletter. We have a free gift for you there, wonderfullymade.org.
Be sure to go to alliemariesmith.com. I'm telling you guys, you will not be disappointed. There are some life-changing resources there. And again, Allie, from all of us here at the AACC at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, on behalf of my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, and myself, we just wanted to thank you again for all the incredible work that God is doing in and through your life. Thank you for your willingness and your obedience to be so vulnerable and so open for such a time as this. We truly believe that you're not just a game changer, you're a life changer. Thank you so much for joining us today, Allie.
Thank you so much, and thank you for what you do.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Don't miss the world's premier Christian counseling conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row, with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AECC United World Conference. See you in September.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Caring Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Caring Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.